So we're in the Sermon on the Mount, as Andrew told us in the children's sermon, and we're still in chapter 5. We've been here for a while. I think next week we are going to get out of chapter 5. So listen to these words from Jesus to us. Imagine yourself on the mountaintop with Jesus. Again, you have heard that it was said by those in ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for me, church? And I'll pray for you. Almighty God, through your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, you have joined yourself inseparably to your creation. You have decided to be God for us and God with us. And your word to us is always yes. But you know, Lord, our word is often complicated. Sometimes we say yes, and other times no. Lord, simplify our speech today. Make us want to say always and only yes to you. We pray this in the name of Christ, who was crucified but lives. Amen. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform for the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, don't swear at all. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. So, all right, church, these words of Jesus, they come to us in the Sermon on the Mount, and they come right in between Jesus' teaching on revenge immediately following and divorce immediately before. And I get that Jesus needs to talk to us about revenge. But what's the big deal about taking oaths and swearing? Why is Jesus preaching against swearing? And maybe take it a level deeper, is it even relevant to us modern people? Do we still live in a world where oaths and swearing are necessary? We'll go to court. Turn on a TV crime drama, and what do you hear? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And we do. I swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America from all enemies, foreign and domestic. An oath of enlistment. Before our elected officials get to serve us, they take an oath of office. And I can recall many a childhood conversations that went something like this. Are you my friend? Yes, I'm your friend. Do you swear it? Yes, I swear it. Do you swear on your mother's grave? Yes, I swear on my mother's grave. I took many an oath on my mother's grave as a middle schooler, and I cannot to this day tell you what that means. So yeah, we know a thing or two about swearing. Now we got to understand what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount if we're going to understand this passage. Jesus is creating a different sort of people. That's why he only takes the disciples up there. Only the disciples, and y'all are disciples. You see, the church, the body of Christ, is God's living alternative to the world. That is to say, Jesus means for us to become strange. As a pastor of two churches named after nut-bearing trees, I feel like I'm well on my way. But it's important to be strange for the right reasons, right? Jesus wants us to be strange by following Jesus. And here's what's so strange about Jesus' teaching on taking oaths and swearing, that in a world where oaths and swearing are necessary, lies have become normal. Do you see that? In a world where oaths and swearing are necessary, lies have become normal. Why do we take oaths? We take oaths because we do not trust each other. We've lied. We've been lied about. We've been lied to so much that we really don't believe each other anymore. Are you my friend? Yes, I'm your friend. Do you swear it? Even children know we live in a world of lies. Now, I told you a few weeks ago that Jesus is a radical. Jesus is a radical because radical means to go to the root. And today, Jesus takes us to the root of our problem of why we cannot live together in peace. We don't trust each other. We don't trust each other with our time. We don't trust each other with our children. We don't trust each other to do what we said we would do. We don't even trust each other's actions because we believe that deep down inside there's an ulterior motive, some dark intent. And in a world where we do not trust each other, and tell me if this is true, in a world where we do not trust each other, we become increasingly isolated from each other. We build homes further away from people, further away from town. We get better locks on our doors. We build taller privacy fences. We build walls. And our social life becomes increasingly virtual instead of flesh and blood. And we run around with smiles on our face pretending everything's okay. But we lie. And because we lie, we must swear. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, Jesus says. Anything more comes from the evil one. Jesus teaches us that our great mistrust of each other and the world of lies that we have come to inhabit and live in, all of this comes from the evil one, he says. That we are caught in this cosmic web of darkness under the dominion of evil. And in this web of darkness, swearing seems to help. Swearing helps because when people break oaths, we can charge them with perjury and get rid of them. When people break oaths, we can charge them with perjury and get rid of them. But listen to me, church, Jesus isn't into getting rid of people. Jesus is into bringing people together. No more fences. Ephesians 2:14, Jesus is our peace. In his flesh, he has made two groups into one group, broken down the dividing walls of hostility. Jesus is into bringing people together. You see, church, Jesus' mission, that God the Father sends God the Son and the Holy Spirit into the world, it means that God aims to rescue us from the evil one who has spun this web of darkness that we call normal and draw us into the blessed kingdom of the Father. St. John tells us as much. The light came into the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, Jesus says. Now, this is one of the ways that Jesus is going to make us strange. In a world where the air we breathe has become lies, a people who are committed to simply telling the truth to each other seems odd. No arm twisting, no swearing needed. We just ask simple questions and expect a simple response. Jesus asked the disciples, "Will you follow me?" Yes, and they follow. And the church asks us simple questions. Will you nurture these children in God's holy church so that through the church's teaching and your example, they might come to profess Christ as Lord for themselves? At one time or another, most of you in here have said yes to that question. It's what we ask when we're baptizing infants and children in our church. Now, the interesting thing about that question is, as a pastor, I don't just ask the parents, will you nurture this child in the church? I ask all of you. And that means in baptism, parents like me, we come to the church and we say, all right, listen up, people. If I'm going to raise this heathen into a Christian, I'm going to need God's help and all your help too. And we all said yes. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do you promise to serve God in this church through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? That question was asked to every one of us who are members of the United Methodist Church. And we said yes. No one twisted our arm. No one said, swear that you will. We just asked, will you? Your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. And we said yes. I said yes. You see, our simple yes to the question of membership, it comes also with a confession, doesn't it? That by saying yes, we confess that we cannot be the sort of church God is calling us to be without your gifts and your prayers and your presence. But with your witness and your gifts, that we cannot become the church that God is calling us to be. As members of Christ's body, we cannot, as Paul says, that the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. It takes us all. And we all said yes. We all said yes. Our men of honor, this is our men's group. We meet every Friday morning and we meet to pray and to study and to serve. And we read these words. These are the words that we open every single meeting with. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else comes from the evil one. And then we go on and we state our purpose, growing in faithfulness to the words we say and the actions we do so we might live lives worthy of imitation and inspiration for those watching us. Now, our group is called Men of Honor. You come and look at us. We're not perfect men, not by a long shot. But we think that we'd like for God to make us honorable men. Honor means doing what you say you will do. Honor doesn't mean that you won't ever fail or that you're perfect. But it means that when I do fail, I'll take responsibility for my failure, that I didn't do what I said I would do. Honor also means expecting other people to do what they said they will do. And so in telling us to let our yes be yes and our no be no, Jesus is telling us to live honorable lives. And that this calling for honor is not just a calling for this little group of men that meet on Friday morning. It is a calling for God's whole church. The night is far gone and the day is near, says St. Paul. That salvation is nearer today than it was when you first believed. Put on the armor of light and live honorably. Romans 13:13. So last week I told you that the Bible is always, always about God first. And that Jesus always aims to teach us about God. So what do our yeses and what do our noes have to do with God? Listen again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, was not yes and no. Jesus wasn't vacillating. He wasn't lukewarm, saying yes and no. But in Him is always yes. In Him, every one of God's promises is yes. And we say amen. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is not yes and no, but in Him is always yes. That in a world of rejection where I have to constantly prove my worth, in a world of swearing where lies have become normal, God in Christ always and emphatically says yes to us. That in our life we spend so much time and so much energy trying to reach to God and trying to get to God or trying to become little gods ourselves. God has already said yes to us in Christ. This resounding yes in all of our strengths and all of our weaknesses and all of our faults and warts and blemishes, a yes to us. God has come all the way to us because we couldn't get to God. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, did his entire doctrine of election with this one simple truth, that by becoming flesh in Jesus Christ, God has once and for all said a resounding yes to His creation, an irrevocable yes. That God is God with us means that God has determined not to be God without us. Yes. Bart adds that on the cross, we see the depths of love of God's yes. But we also see God's no to sin and evil. God says no to sin and evil, so that He may say yes to us. God says no to sin and evil, so we may say yes to God and no to the sin and the evil that aims to destroy our life. I told you earlier that God's mission is to send the Son, to send the Holy Spirit, to send the church into the world to combat the powers of darkness. The light came into the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, right? Well, St. John also adds, the light came into the world, but men loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. The other day, last weekend, Patrick woke up from a nap, absolutely throwing a fit. This post-nap tantrum has become a weekly occurrence in the Wilson home. And I have learned you don't get in the way of a flailing toddler, right? St. Augustine lifted toddlers up as an example of original sin. He said, if they were bigger, they'd kill you, right? Anyway, I open the door and I say, Patrick, I've got you a cookie. And he just continues this fit. And I say, all right, I'm going to put this cookie on a plate at the end of the door. Your door's open. When you're done throwing this fit, you can come out and have a cookie. Clearly, I'm not above bribery. And he walks up to the door, looks at the cookie, slams the door closed, locking himself inside, and goes back and throws a fit. You see, I said yes to Patrick, and he said no to me. Church, I want to suggest today that it's time to quit saying no to God. It's time to quit saying yes and no at the same time to God. You see, Jesus speaks to us in Revelation chapter 3. He said, I know your works. I know you're neither hot nor cold. You're yes and no. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot. I wish that you were cold. But because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Christ draws near to us. Draws near to us, opening wide the doors of our prisons. Prisons of addiction, prisons of lies, prisons of excuses, prisons of self-loathing and apathy and indifference. Christ opens wide the door of our deliverance, and like screaming toddlers, we walk over and we slam the door closed, locking ourselves in our own little prisons. In C.S. Lewis's great reflection on heaven and hell, he says, in the end, you will say to God, God, thy will be done. Or God will say to you, Brian, thy will be done. We may say yes, or we may say no to God, but ours is a God that eternally says yes to us. And so I want to suggest to you today that the Holy Spirit drew you here today, not just for worship, but because there is something inside of you that is tired of the lies. There's something in you that is tired of the you that you've been pretending to be, tired of the self-loathing, tired of faith tried halfway, tired of mulling about in the darkness while secretly longing for the light. You're tired of your little prison. And so the Spirit brought you here today to testify to your spirit. The Spirit brought you here today to see Christ fling open wide the door of your prison. To hear again the call into the adventure of the mission of God. But in bringing you here today, the Spirit has brought you to the limit of God's freedom and the beginning of yours. Yes or no? Not yes and no. Yes or no. You see, God's mind is made up eternally concerning you. Yes, 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 1,000 times into eternity, yes. And so it is your turn. Yes or no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. But know this, anything less comes from the evil one. Amen.